Last week, we started talking about building a solid and fruitful home. And we read a scripture from the book of Proverbs, chapter 24, verses 3 to 4. The Bible says, through wisdom, a home is built. And by understanding, that home is established. And by knowledge, that same home, all the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So I was bringing it up to us last week that love alone is not enough to build a home. That's why I mentioned to us, I said, if you ask some of these people that are divorced today, they will tell you that they used to love, depending on what the definition of love is today. But I was explaining to us that we need to take it further. We need to go further besides just love, that foundation that we have. These three things are very crucial in building a solid and fruitful home. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Let's say it together. One more time, brethren. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And last week, we dwelt on knowledge. If you were not here, I want you to please listen to the message and so that you can flow very well with us. Knowledge is important. Knowledge is dwelling on the truth. Knowledge is the fact of the matter, not story that you heard. And for you to get the truth, you need to go to the source of the information. If you want to know your spouse, if you want to know your children, if you don't want to know yourself, you need to go back to the manual that you came with. Because when God sent you here, you came with what? And what is that? The Word of God. Whatever the Spirit of God says about the issue, that is the fact. Any other thing that you may have or hear is a report. And there is difference between report and fact. So for you to build a home that will be solid and that will be fruitful, you cannot build your life, you cannot focus your life on just what people say about you or what any report says about you. If you want your home, your marriage to last, to be solid and be fruitful, you need to get the fact about the spouse that you have, the children that you have. You need to consult God for you to get the fact about them. That is knowledge. The truth about them. You remember the illustration we give with a video? Let me show us again a different one today so that you can see how these three elements are so important. Very, very important. We're still reading Proverbs chapter 24 from verses 3 to 4. Wisdom. With wisdom, the home is built. Rejoice, you can be happy. We need to move to the next level. Understanding will now establish that. And the Bible goes further to explain to us that after you have wisdom, you have understanding, you need knowledge. And from that book of Proverbs that we read, knowledge will fill the rooms, each room of the home, with riches, blessings, everything that you need. Knowledge fills all with riches. Breaking it down for us to really understand it and let it sink. Wisdom, home is built. Understanding, home is established. And knowledge, the home is filled with riches. Isn't that awesome? We need these three. When we're talking of home, let us read that scripture in the Amplified Version. That Proverbs chapter 24. That Proverbs chapter 24 from verse 3 through 4. Through skillful and godly wisdom, a house. See the house being referred to right there as your life, your home, your family. So through wisdom, that home is built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good. And by knowledge, its rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So we talked of knowledge last week. Knowledge is the fact, but today we are dwelling on understanding. Understanding is the meaning of the fact. And when we get to another time, we go to part three of the teaching, which will be dwelling on wisdom. Wisdom is what is telling you what to do next. So just take it simple like that. Knowledge is the fact, the information that you have. Understanding is having the meaning of that fact. Because it's one thing to have information, it's another thing to have the true meaning of the information that you have. And when we now talk of wisdom, wisdom is how to carry out the fact which you have the meaning about, how to carry it out to achieve the end result. This morning I want to talk briefly about three different men, because as we are dwelling on understanding today, I need to digress a little bit for us to really start from the root. Understanding will help you to execute the choice that you take from the information that you receive. So, for us to go deeper into the meaning of understanding, I want to tell us about three different men. The first man is what the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, as a natural man. Everybody say natural man? Yeah, natural man. Who is a natural man? A natural man is someone that depends on all his five senses to relate, to react to the situation around them. And when we're talking of our five senses, of course, are children here? Children are here. Children, can you tell us the five senses that we have? Because some of us adults don't remember them. I know. See, children already raising their hand. Everybody, let's go. Say it anyhow as you remember the five senses. Yes. Thank you. I believe you said something right. When we're talking of five senses, we are talking of the eyes, the ear, the taste, the smell, and the touch. A natural man depends on all these five senses in order to react, to respond to his environment. Let's read that scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But people who are not spiritual cannot receive this truth from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they cannot understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. When you're talking of spiritual things, a natural man has no clue of what you're talking about. You're sounding so foolish to a natural man. A natural man is naturally alive to all the five senses, but spiritually dead. A natural man is totally separated from God. When God is speaking, a natural man is blank. That is why you see a natural man in the church during sermon, checking his email and smiling, playing game and smiling, sleeping. During praise and worship, a natural man has no reason to worship God. They don't understand what is going on. When people are lifting up their hands and speaking in tongues, what are they talking about? What is going on with these people? When a natural man sees a child of God worshiping God and dancing, a natural man will be smiling. Look at him. Dancing. Natural man praise God. So no natural man here. A natural man is what? Dead to spirituals, but alive to senses. They react to what they can touch, what they can smell, what they can see. Once a natural man hears information, he runs with it. Whether it is a fact or not, he will start fighting before he realizes that it is not true. Praise God. The second man, a carnal man. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 1 through 4. And I, brethren, see, a carnal man can be a Christian, but they are those Christians that respond to their flesh. A carnal man is different to a natural man. Let's read this. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Did you hear that? Let's read it together. And I, brethren, what did he call them? Brethren. Say that again. Brethren. So brethren can be carnal. Because we go to church, because we speak in tongues, doesn't mean that we are not carnal. What comes out of us determines what type of man we are. When situation comes. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babies in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still what? Not able. A carnal man can be born again for 20 years, but because lack of growth, spiritual kwachioko, a carnal man will not understand the spiritual things. A carnal man can still not react, respond to the spiritual information they are receiving. They go by what the flesh tells them. When the flesh says, don't greet him, a carnal man will not greet. Because that's what the flesh says. It talks about you. Don't greet him. And when a carnal man is coming, and because the flesh are dictated to him, the other person is coming, that's when he will now start pretending, doing something, or change his direction, just because the flesh. Do you think the Spirit of God will say, don't greet? A carnal man react primarily to the external circumstances, responding to the flesh. Being carnal is to be controlled by the flesh. Simple meaning of a carnal man. A lot of people think a carnal man is someone that fornicates. No. When you display unforgiveness, you are carnal. When you display jealousy, you are carnal. When you say, God, you are so good. Tomorrow, God, why did you do this to me? You are carnal. Because a carnal man will be switching. They have mood disorder. Today, this might come and join me, sing hallelujah. Hey, Jehovah Jireh has done me well. Tomorrow, you are begging him to come to church. Because something happened. They switch easily. They are controlled by the flesh. Victory today, crying tomorrow. Praise the Lord today. Tomorrow, God, I'm angry. Don't talk to me. Do you know that kind of man gets angry with God? They tell God not to talk to them. I was a kind of man one time. I'm telling you the honest truth. I've told you this story before. Because I prayed for something and it didn't happen, I told God, don't talk to me. I said, God, leave me alone. After I fasted and prayed for this thing, for you to touch my father's heart so that he will let me go to London. And you told him not to let me go. I was angry. I said, God, don't speak to me. Leave me alone. Brethren, I'm sharing with you a very truth of personal experience. I had a dream, a terrible dream, a very, very terrible dream. The moment I woke up from the dream, I was like, thank God it's a dream. God, help me. God, help me. I told God yesterday, don't talk to me. Today, because of the dream, God, help me. See, kind of man, how they switch. The third man, because of our time, the third man is a spiritual man. So we have natural man, we have carnal man, we have spiritual man. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we read before, verse 13. Verse 13. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that comes from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's word to explain spiritual truth. Verse 15. Verse 15. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. Why do you think the Bible is saying spiritual man can evaluate all things? They don't go by human senses. They don't go by flesh, the dictation of the flesh. They go by the Spirit. That is revelation. That is knowledge. You know, we talked last week. Knowledge comes from revelation. When a spiritual man speaks, they speak the truth, the mind of God. They don't speak because they want to make everybody happy. They will speak what the Spirit reveals to them to speak. They will say things just like God told them. A spiritual man will not go to somewhere with you just because he wants to make you happy. A spiritual man will set their priority aright based on the dictation of the Holy Spirit. A spiritual man will never take any action by themselves without consulting the Spirit to check with the Spirit. They just don't take their liberty as they want because it's me. I will just drive to anywhere I want. I will just go anywhere. A spiritual man listens to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When your spouse is misbehaving, disappointing you. A spiritual man will seek the face of God. God, give me the wisdom how to approach this issue. Because that might be a spirit you are fighting, not your spouse. And the Bible says, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. Otherwise, you will be attacking a wrong object. A spiritual man has the breath of God in him. That is why he responds to that breath of God in any situation. That is why you see a spiritual man will not talk sometimes. Not that they don't want to talk, but they are listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit telling them to wait. A spiritual man will wait. When it is not yet time to go, a spiritual man will not go. Even when others are going, a spiritual man doesn't join multitude. They stand out because they go by the dictate of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible says, don't go by sight. When God spoke to me about my wife, I began to pray against it. I told my prayer, my co-pastor, I said, let us pray. One spirit is talking to me that this woman is my wife. Let us begin to rebuke this spirit in the name of Jesus. We knelt down, we began to pray. Because it, as a man, she doesn't look like what I wanted at the time. I was like, no, this is not. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. You, the spirit of deceit, you will not deceive me. This is not my wife. Praise God, somebody. Is she my wife today? I met her 24 years ago. We've been together. Till now, we're still praising God because God has been faithful. You know what God told me? Revelation. That's all I can tell you. When you receive that revelation, the Lord gave me a word that described her. Immediately, I surrender her. I say, yes, Lord. The moment I said yes, everything that I can see as a man began to change in her. See, when God is speaking to you, God will not go by what you're looking at. Because what you're looking at, you may be like, why will I do this? Why will I go with this man? Why will it be this lady? Why will it be this whatever? Sometimes you change your job and you did not consult the Holy Spirit, then you will pay for it. Before you move, you consult God. Before you go to a different place to rent, you consult the Spirit of God. Before you take any action, you ask God. You have the breath of God in you. The breath of God opens your eyes. That is the understanding we are talking about. Understanding that we are talking about to build you, to build your home, to build your family. It's not something you learn in a four-year college. It is something that comes when God opens your eyes and you'll be like, yes. I was telling some people this morning, I said, listen, you need God to you need to ask God to open your eyes to teach you how to marry your wife, how to marry your husband. It goes beyond all this that we do. You know I love you. You know I can't sleep without you. You know you are the sugar of my tea. You know you are the whatever of my address. You all those things. Oh boy, when the reality comes, what will keep you is the revelation that you have, the understanding that you have. If you lack understanding, you have no meaning to why your spouse, your children, or yourself is doing what you are doing. But when you have the understanding, you see beyond the cross, you're looking at the crown. Praise the Lord. Because when you're looking at the crown, it will look so heavy for you to bear. But when you see beyond the cross, you see that there is a crown behind the cross. And that will be your motivation. That will be what is driving you. You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. You will go through that situation and you will get to the crown. And the crown will be on your head. Praise the Lord.
A spiritual man will put flesh on the cross so that he can put his faith on the throne. You need to understand that as a spiritual man. Being spiritual man will enable you to put your flesh on the throne, on the cross. That is, that flesh will not control you. And you will now put your faith on the throne. That is what will dictate your movement, your reaction, your attitude. Do you know that we beg Christians today, drop it, let God be God. And they are still holding. If you are spiritual, you will understand what is going on around you. You will not bow down. You will not give up. You will not just let it go and let the devil take over. You will be in charge because as a child of God, you are destined for the throne. No situation can reign over you because you are being led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Your spiritual senses will let you see things that natural man cannot see. That will bring you understanding. That is the understanding we're talking about. That's why they will be asking you, why are you still smiling? The reason why you're smiling is because you don't see what they are talking about. You are seeing what God is showing you. That keep on going, keep on going, keep on marrying him. Keep on blessing your child. Don't give up on him. Keep on supporting him. Keep on popping him love. Keep on doing what you are doing. And you keep on doing. Your friends are telling you, are you crazy? This boy doesn't appreciate you. Are you crazy? This your husband is not, whatever. Are you run out of your men? No, you know what you are doing. You are being led by the Spirit. You are going somewhere. God is taking you to somewhere. You are going to your throne. You have to be ready to be criticized as a spiritual man because what you do will sound foolish. What you say will sound stupid. First Corinthians chapter 2 verse 15. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things. As a spiritual man, when situation happens, you are consulting. You are consulting your base. That is your God. God, give me the word here. How do I react here? How do I respond here? What do I say here? A spiritual man don't just open their mouth. But when they open their mouth, God is speaking. God is speaking. And when they open their mouth, people will see reason. It may take time. It may take time, but people will see reasons. And they will see that truly God is speaking. You see things in the spirit that are not born in the natural. That is a spiritual man. Because everything starts from the spirit before it comes to natural. That is why a spiritual man has been elevated. They are graduated. They don't operate in the level of the natural man or the carnal man. They operate in the spiritual level because they're dealing with God. And they can see the mind of God. So they can evaluate every situation. When something is not of God, they will know. And they will not be part of it. And when something is God, and God is saying, go ahead and do it, I'm telling you. If everybody is saying, Pastor, we can't do this. Oh, my husband, this is difficult. Oh, no, a spiritual man will say, yes, I can do it. Yes, and I'm doing it. Your ways are different to the ways of the world. You can only manifest in your life what you perceive in your spirit. So that is why you must let your eyes of understanding be open so that you will not live a blank Christian life because what you see in your life manifesting is what you had seen in the spirit happening. It has been approved by God. You must hear your spirit, spiritual man. Say amen. You must hear your spirit. You must see with your sight, with your spiritual sight, because our eyes are open. Our ears are open. We are not blank. We are not empty. We are not idle. We receive from God the source of information. When you see the invisible, you will do the impossible. We must get to that level whereby we see beyond here, whereby we are not moved by what they said or what they say or what it's going on. We are moved by what God is saying. So when God opens your eyes, when you are there with the Lord in that level, you understanding the voice of God, that understanding is there. You see the invisible that others don't see. Brethren, you will do the impossible. Praise the Lord. To have understanding means to lose your natural eyesight and gain your spiritual insight. It is important to gain your spiritual insight so that you can see to the core. You can see the deep revelation of God. So that you can see what others cannot see. To be able to see beyond the natural, it's what is considered to have the understanding. Meaning that our eyes are open. A spiritual man with understanding means a person with enlightenment. A person that has been illuminated. You have seen, you have heard, you are not empty. God has the ability to open our eyes. That spiritual man. In the book of Luke chapter 24, verse 45, the Bible says right there, he opened their minds so they can see and understand the scripture. So when God is speaking, he has the power to open your eyes. And that should be our prayer always, brethren. If that is your prayer, you will see that a lot of things will be changed in your home, in your life, in your situation, that God, open my eyes here. You will not react wrongly to situation. There is a story that I'm going to take us through as we're rounding up. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, 2 Kings, chapter 6, from verse 15. 2 Kings, chapter 6, from verse 15. You know the story with Elisha and Elijah and the people of Aram and all that, you know. Until God opens your eyes, you don't understand anything that is going on. We think we know, but we don't know anything. We don't know anything. When the servant of the man of God got up early in the morning and went outside, that is Elisha, there were troops, horses, chariots, everywhere. He ran to his master. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him. For there are more on our side than on their side. But you know what? When Elisha was talking, this man had no clue what Elisha was talking about. What do you mean there are more on our side? Can't you see armies? They are waging war against us. You know, we find ourselves in that situation. We don't have anything. We are in need. And you don't know that God has supply for all your need. It's just that you have to change your story. You just have to change what you say. And you need to act as it is. And you need to declare them. Elisha told the servant, don't be worried. Don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than them. Then Elisha prayed to God, oh Lord, do what? Open his eyes. That is, give him understanding so that he can see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, everybody say looked up, He saw that the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. As the Aramean army advanced towards him, see what Elisha said. Okay, God, thank you. You opened his eyes, but this one blindfolded them. To lack understanding means to be short-sighted, to be blind-sighted. You don't see what is going on. What you see is the situation. Elisha told God, God, I don't want this one to see. These enemies, I don't want them to see. You see, God did it. Oh, Lord, please make them blind. We're not talking of natural blind. For them not to have a clue of what Elijah is doing. For them not to have the understanding of what is going on. This is a funny story. So the Lord struck them with what? Blindness, as Elisha had asked. Continue. Then Elisha went out and told them, okay, you guys are here, right? Yes, we are here. You're looking for who? They said, Elisha. Okay, you have come the wrong way. This isn't the right city. Follow me, and I will take you to the man you are looking for. Who were they looking for? Who was talking to them? But they lack understanding. Their eyes were not open. Elisha was leading them out. You're looking for Elisha, right? Okay, I will take you to him. You are in the wrong place, but let me help you. He led them out. I will take you to the man you are looking for. And he led them to the city of Samaria. See what lack of understanding can do. You will miss the fact. You will miss the road. You will miss the blessing. You will lack on. You will have no clue. Oh, may the Lord open our eyes. When you can only see with your natural eyes, you lose your spiritual insight. You will end up with misconception. Because when you don't have understanding, you are going by what you were told. You are going by what you heard. You are going by what your natural senses were telling you. You are going by what your flesh is telling you. You are ending up with a wrong conclusion. When you lack understanding, you will end up with what? Misconception. Misconception leads to misunderstanding. Misunderstanding leads to wrong belief. Wrong belief means you have a contaminated belief system. You cannot understand what you are holding on to as a fact is a wrong information. So what you are walking by is leading you to a wrong destination because you have misconception. Our eyes of understanding must be open in everything that we are doing so that we can have it right. Don't forget, we are building a solid and fruitful home. That is your life, your home, and your family. Apply this thing into all these areas. Don't go by what you hear, even in your home. Don't go by what your flesh is telling you. Even if you have a fact, you listen to what God is telling you to give you the solution. Praise God. Hallelujah. Understanding means the story you are standing under. What story are you standing on? What do you believe? What are you holding on to? What is driving your action? What is driving your motive? What is moving you in your next step? Why are you doing what you are doing? What are you basing your action upon? Are you basing it on the true fact? That is the revelation from the Lord that He gave you. The story you tell yourself about yourself means a lot about your life. Sometimes We don't need prayer. We need to change and fix our story. When you fix your story, your situation is changed. You will see God in action. That is, you need to delete what you believe and hold firm onto what God tells you about that situation. Don't stand under blind truth. Stand under revelation truth. Revelational truth is what can sustain you. When you get your information from elsewhere other than what the Spirit of God is opening your eyes to, that is called a blind truth. Praise the Lord. Understanding is important to build a home. To have an established home, that is an established life, an established family, you need understanding. You need to understand the move of God in everything that goes on in your home, in the life of your spouse, in the life of your children. Because God may put you in there to use you to change things around. And if you react negatively, then you disappoint God, then you will not achieve it, then you end up in square one. It's a waste of journey. Seek understanding. Pray always that your eyes of understanding be opened. See the woman with the issue of blood. This woman knows a story. As people have been talking about her, you know she's been dealing with this issue for years. But one day, brethren, everybody say one day. One day, like a day like this, that God is giving you understanding to the situation that you found yourself, as God is opening your eyes, as you're hearing his word, for you to know the right approach to the situation that you are confronted with, God will open your eyes and give you the ability, and you will take the step and you will succeed. This woman heard that Jesus was around. Do you know that she was not looking for Jesus to touch him? She was looking to touch Jesus because she had the understanding that this is Jesus. I've heard about him. I want to touch him. There is a difference between God touching you and you touching God. Praise the Lord. When he touched you, you will see the invisible. When you touch God, you will do the impossible. That is the way it goes. You cannot do it except you touch him. He had touched you. He gave you revelation. You need to rise and act with it so you can see. He said, those who know their God shall be strong and do exploit. Let me close with Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18 as we read it. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18. That is a very good prayer. And I want you to take note of it. Let it be your daily prayer. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us and those of us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Let me tell you three things right here, brethren. When you pray this prayer and God open your eyes of understanding, the first thing you will know your purpose. Let's go back to the verse 18 so that we can see it. It takes revelation to know your purpose. Even coming to this church, if God did not open your eyes, you won't know why you're here. You think you are just here because you have to go to church. So on a Sunday, you have to go to a place so that, you know, when you are doing naming ceremony or you have wakekeeping or you are something, these are your church family, that's where I belong. I go to Fountain of the Living Water Church. And that is all your purpose, why you're here. You need to know the purpose you married your spouse. You need to know the purpose of God for each of your children. You need to know the purpose of God for your life. When your eyes of understanding is being opened, you will know that purpose. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened. Now see, that you may know what is the hope of his calling for you. You need to know why you are still alive. You need to know why you are in the neighborhood where you are. You need to know why you still have that your job. You need to know why God gave you this family he gave you. Until your eyes of understanding is open, you are just going by what you think. You need to know your purpose. When you know your purpose, when God takes something away, you know you will not react, you will thank him. A lot of people, God is doing something, they are fighting God. Because they lack understanding. Because they don't know the purpose, why it's happening. You cannot press towards what you don't know. When you know your purpose, then you will not be distracted. Because you know why you're here. Because you know why you're doing what you are doing. You won't hear noise. You won't hear noise. You will not listen to noise. You will stay focused because you know what God told you. You know why he said you should stay here. You know why he said you should go. You know why he said you should have. You know why he said you should give it. You are not being distracted by any story that comes from anybody else because you know your purpose. Our eyes of understanding must be open. The second thing you will know what you got. You will know your possession. See it right there. That you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint? It takes revelation to know what has been given to you as a child of God. It takes revelation for that understanding to come, for you to know that you are wealthy in the Lord. You are rich. You have the riches of his glory. You will know what you have when your eyes of understanding is open. That is why when something contrary is coming, you will refuse to give up. No, I have it. I have it. It said this. He said this, he said this. By the time you said it, Jesus told Satan, it is written. So what are you telling me? To bow down for you? It's already written. You forgot. The three times he came to him, Jesus did not give him story. Jesus said, it is. You need to know what you have. The last one. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? You will know where your power comes from. You will know where your power comes from. That is why you can stand and be immovable. Because you know that you are standing on the rock of ages. I am not ordinary. We sing that song, I know who I am. That is why you can sing in the midst of adversity. Because you know that your power is not your power. Your power have its root. It's source from God. And when God cannot be moved, then you cannot be moved. That is why you are unstoppable, brethren. Because they do this to you doesn't mean you collapse. They do this to you, you stand still. You stand firm. It may take time, but you remain firm. We're standing on the rock of ages. And he said, I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. The source of your power is not from the situation that is confronting you. The source of your power is from the Ancient of Days, the Rock of Ages, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the I am that I am, the unmovable God, the unquestionable God. That is why you can move. In him we move, we take our being. These three revelations will come from the understanding that we have when our eyes of understanding is open. As you go home today, remember the youth team, empowered by the Spirit, change your situation by fixing your story. Fix the story. Change that story. Whatever you say, whatever you see, you got to change it. Change it, change it, change it. That woman with the issue of blood said, no, no, I have to touch him. I have to, this story is changed today. This issue of blood is over. No, Jesus will be here and I will still go home with this one. My story is changed. My story is changed. When you repeat the new story, you repeat the new story, you repeat the new story, the whole story will be deleted. Hallelujah. I want you to rise on your feet as you sing the song, Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. This is my story from today. And through, as you're fixing that story with your mouth, with your confession of faith, I want you to know that the power of God is going over that situation and changing that situation around. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fountain of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of blood, over his feet. Hallelujah. Washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my story. This is my song. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time. Deleted. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Praising my Savior all that day long. Oh, this is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. I want you to begin to tell a new story now. Begin to change your story. Fix your story. Fix your story. Give yourself a new story, and you will see, as you repeat it, the whole story is deleted. You have understanding now. Don't say nothing wrong with you. Nothing is wrong with you. You are wonderfully and fearfully made. Confront that situation. Change that story as you are standing, as you are talking right now. Change. Change that story. Whatever story you want to change, change it. Fix it. With the understanding you have right now, fix it. We prayed this morning. We prayed already. See how God has started changing situation with the illumination, the enlightenment you have. Your prayer is for your eyes of understanding to be open. Lord, I have a new story. I have a new story. Begin to say, begin to repeat that new story. Give yourself a new name. Give yourself a new name. And start on it. Stay on it. Repeat it every day, every night. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Give your children a new name. Give your spouse a new name. Give your situation a new name. And see the hand of God. After 12 years, that woman's story changed. Thank you, Lord. Our Lord, our God, we thank you. You want us to fix our story because we have understanding. And you want us to continue to repeat that new story. The old story is gone. Thank you for the new names. Thank you for intervention from above. Thank you for opening our eyes of understanding. Thank you for the enlightenment. Thank you for the enlightenment. Thank you for the enlightenment. We've been handling situation our own ways before. Lord, we surrender it all.
We thought we know. We thought we have right. We thought we have been deceived. We thought we can fight for ourselves. Lord, I pray for every single one under the sound of this voice that our eyes of understanding will be open and things will begin to take a better shape in our lives, in our homes, in our family, in our situation, in the name of Jesus. Help us to understand our purpose. Help us to know what has been given unto us as children of God. Help us to know where our power came from. So that we will not be timid. We will not chicken out in any situation. We will stand still and focus and look at that situation.